WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
All right. Welcome back in the second hour to all of those locally, those stations that we just heard about, and Zephyr Hills, Dade City, Tampa, etc., and Starcom Media Network. All of you listeners, we're so glad you're joining us today. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Pastor Marcia. My associate pastor, Pastor Jim, is on the show today. He's on the show a lot. We have a radio team made up of several people, some here in Florida, some in Indiana from the church I used to pastor. Megan is one of those people in Indiana. So is her mother, Betty. And we're just glad. I just appreciate you guys so much, Megan, the radio team. And I know it takes a couple hours out of a Sunday afternoon, but it's a blessing to me every Sunday to be right here in this chair. And I think it is to all you radio team members, too, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's an awesome thing to do, and it's like you just wish you could do it more.
Ah, it's great, isn't it? Oh, well, that's good to hear. Okay. Every once in a while, I'm out of town, and Pastor
Jim will be starting a second Sunday show.
Yeah, we'll start another one, okay. Yeah. Pastor Jim hosts the show when I'm out of town, and you're just really good at that, and our radio team are just fantastic. Nan is one of our radio team members, and she's our poet laureate, I guess, you know, and God just, it's interesting, Nan, how God speaks through you prophetically in the form of poetry, because I think so many people can understand that, a poem that comes from God, easier sometimes than a prophetic word. But it's still, that is what it is. It's a prophetic word that's coming from God through you, because you're willing to sit there with your little laptop, and if God gives you something, you write it, and then you tell us. Cool, huh? She's nodding her head yes. So anyway, even though she doesn't have her mic in front of her. So we are talking today about Jesus. Oh, we just love Jesus so much. And the work that God does in our lives. As we approach Resurrection Sunday on April the 5th coming up, I've been listening to a lot of praise and worship music on my Pandora. And I keep hearing ads for a new movie that comes out this Friday, Do You Believe? And the question has been raised on Pandora constantly. This spring, people will be saying, do you believe? Do you believe in Jesus? And I can't wait to see this movie and to be reminded one more time that that is a question that people need to be asked. Do you believe? And this show is all about, oh, yes, we believe. We believe with every fiber that is within us, don't we, Pastor Jim? And then I want you to introduce this next song.
Amen. Amen. We do believe. And What a wonderful song. This is the next song. It's one of my favorites, The Potter's Hand. So, Pastor, you better turn off my mic. I'll probably be weeping.
Oh, that's okay.
But it's The Potter's Hand by Darlene Zench.
And Megan's already been crying, so it's good. Yeah.
That's right. Come on, PJ.
That's right. Yeah. Great song. Let's let God mold us. Let's let God change us.
Wonderful Savior, I know for sure all of my days are held in your hand and crafted into your perfect plan. You gently call me into
I'm captured by
praise you, Jesus. Make me, mold me, fill me, Lord. Lord, we want to be all you want us to be. Lead me, walk beside me. I give myself to the potter's hand, the work of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, changing us into the image of Jesus, and that's what it's all about. Oh, Nan, you got a poem for our listeners here and for all of us?
Yes, ma'am. I am the potter, you are the clay. I desire to do a great work in your life. I will guide you and give you your direction to help you through all of your strife. I will just love on you with the love that only I can give to you. I love you and desire only the best for you, even when molding you. That's what I do. Will you surrender all of your life to me and not hold on to a small part? Give it all to me. It'll be okay. Then you can have a great new start. A start where you willingly surrender all so that you can become a beautiful vessel. I will only do what is best for you, and of my love, joy, and peace, you will be full.
Oh, beautiful. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And we talked last Sunday about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is allowing God to just fill you up to overflowing with Him. And when that happens, I like to say Mr. Clean goes to work, but the Holy Spirit begins to clean us out after we have said, Lord, give me everything you have for me, which we talked about last week. And then God begins to reveal things in our lives that we need to deal with, or that are sin of some type, or something that God is trying to let us, to cause us to see that we don't, to get rid of that area of whatever is struggling, that we're struggling with. And oh, the work that God does in our lives. And we see Jesus doing that right here with these religious leaders. Let's go to Mark chapter 3. And looking at verse 1, he went back into the meeting place. So Jesus continued to go back into the meeting place, and he caused trouble, people. He caused trouble everywhere he went. He went in the meeting place where he found a man with a crippled hand. Don't take that the wrong way when I say he caused trouble. I mean, he what, Pastor Jim? He
made waves.
He made waves. Okay, there you go.
He upset the apple cart.
There you go. All right. Megan, what were you going to say he was doing?
No, I just giggling because I thought he made a ripple in the water.
Okay, he did. In the way things always were, you know, he broke through the old prejudices, the intolerance. He broke through the old rules. And here we see him doing another drastic thing. And you know what? He did it on the Sabbath. And he knowingly did it on the Sabbath. PJ.
Well, and I was going to say, back up in, he keeps having, these two chapters are just full of run-ins with the religious leaders.
They are, totally.
Because they complained about him being with Matthew, but they didn't complain to Jesus. They went to the disciples.
Right.
They were just scaredy cats.
Right.
And he said, I didn't come to call the righteous people, quote unquote. I came to call the sinners.
Right.
And I think, you know, the people that are hardest people to, I think, for God to move in are those who think they're already there.
Yeah.
I'm already right with God. Mm-hmm. And these, I mean, obviously these people did, because then they complained that episode in the field, they complained again. Disciples worked on the Sabbath. All they did was pluck some grain because they were hungry. And Jesus said, you know, he cut through it and said, man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath for man.
Right.
It was for us, to give us a day of rest, and they turned it all around.
Right.
And it's the same thing here. You know, Jesus is going to get in trouble again.
Right.
You know, because they were waiting. They were just waiting to see if he was
going to. Chomping at the bit.
Yes, they were hoping he'd like sin by doing this work on the Sabbath.
Right. And he did.
And he did. Of course he did.
Yeah.
Duh.
Yeah. And so it says in Mark 3, the first verse or two, the Pharisees, which are the religious leaders, had their eyes on Jesus to see if he would heal him, who? A man with a crippled hand. Hoping to catch him in a Sabbath infraction. Okay? He said to the man with the crippled hand, stand here where we can see you. In other words, Jesus didn't even do this behind the building so nobody would know and cause trouble.
He didn't do it in a corner.
He did not do it in a corner. He just absolutely said, stand up. Well, and I mean, it was like publicly. There you go. And then he spoke to the people and he says, what kind of action suits the Sabbath best? Doing good or doing evil? Helping people or leaving them helpless? Now, this caused everybody to be speechless. Megan, you want to comment on this?
I love it. Because he speaks the truth.
Uh-huh.
And it's just like those Pharisees or those guys that went to the disciples that, you know, that they wanted to tattle on Jesus.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But they couldn't go to Jesus. They had to go behind his back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They were scared of him. They didn't know what he was going to speak the truth to them, and they didn't want to hear it.
Right.
And it's the same thing here. It's like, do you want me to help people or do you want me to leave them alone? I mean,
yeah.
I'm here to help you. That's what I'm going to do. So which is it? And nobody could answer because it's like, we don't want to answer because we don't want to get in trouble.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And absolutely. And I love the next verse, verse 5 of Mark 3, because in the Message Bible, it says he looked them in the eye, one after another. Interesting, Pastor Jim. I find it very interesting because sometimes, you know, people can't look you in the eye, especially if they're lying to you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And here Jesus looks them right in the eye, one after another, and he's angry now. Guys, it's okay to get angry. And the Bible says in Ephesians, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. It's okay to be angry. You don't have to sin by being angry. You don't have to take it to an extreme where something awful happens. But yes, is anger a normal human emotion? Absolutely it is. But we don't want to be carried away by that anger and cause it to cause all kinds of other problems, you know? So here we see Jesus, they were furious. No, I'm sorry. He was furious at their hard-nosed religion. And he says to the man, you better go take your seat because we don't want to cause any problems around here. Is that what he said? No.
Yeah, right.
Megan, what did he say?
I'm sorry.
He said to the man, hold out your hand. And what did he do?
Held out his hand.
Yeah. And what happened when he held it out and when he obeyed?
By George, he was healed.
And it was as good as new. And the Pharisees got out as fast as they could. And it says here they were sputtering about how they would join forces with Herod's followers and ruin him. Pastor Jim, comment on that, because this should have been a time of huge celebration. Everybody's going, whoa, look, Jesus just healed this crippled man who's been crippled forever.
I'm sure the man's friends and probably a lot of people in the synagogue were rejoicing.
Sure, yeah.
And I find it interesting. I mean, I was thinking, too, about Jesus getting angry. We always think of, oh, Jesus, meek and mild.
Right.
You know, and that's such a misconception. Yeah, he didn't just meekly walk through the temple that Sunday morning before he was crucified and say, oh, I think I'll bump into a table here. And no, he overturned the table purposely.
That's right.
When he raised Lazarus from the dead, was angry.
Yes.
Because, and I think here he was angry at the hardness of their hearts. When it was Lazarus, he was angry at death.
Right.
You know, I mean, he knew eventually, yes, death is going to be overthrown. It already has been because of Jesus' resurrection.
Absolutely.
But he was angry.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have this namby-pamby, excuse me for offending, but we have a sissy Jesus a lot of times who just doesn't get angry.
Right.
And
but right here we see that he did.
He got angry. He was grieved,
yeah.
And he got angry because their hearts were so hard.
Right.
I know the people can't see me, but I'm in here pounding my fists on the
That's
table.
That's right.
I'm getting
you
excited.
Are. You
and
are.
I think it's just amazing that he healed this guy with a withered hand.
Right.
And then the Pharisees, who are so super religious, so conservatively religious, went out and plotted with the cohorts of Herod,
right,
who was a Roman collaborator. Now, talk about strange bedfellows.
Right.
Because here you've got the religious purists going, making plans with the friends of Herod, who they consider to be a traitor to the faith.
Right.
Anyway, and yet they were that mad at Jesus that they were going to join up with the friends of Herod.
Right. So they were just going to be collaborators against Jesus.
No matter what.
Yeah. Right. And so often we find that with people today. You know, they don't even know what they're upset about, but they get off on these tangents and basically behave very unchristian-like, you know, and not loving, etc. Interesting here that these religious leaders got this upset. Okay, let's go on down a little bit because we're still here in Mark 3. Jesus goes off one more time, verse 7 of Mark 3, with his disciples to the sea to get away. Again, Jesus is finding a place where he can rest, where he can talk to the Father, but a huge crowd follows him. And here they are. And so this is where Jesus gets in his boat, and he told his disciples to get a boat ready so he wouldn't be trampled by the crowd. And he had healed many people. I'm in about verse 9 or 10 of Mark 3. And now everyone who had something wrong was pushing and shoving to get near and touch him. And evil spirits, when they recognized him, fell down and cried out, "You are the Son of God." But Jesus forbade them to make him public at that point. He wanted to continue ministry here, right, Pastor Jim?
Yeah, and that would have interfered because it would have been a hindrance. It would have been a distraction.
Right.
You know, and
he wouldn't stay focused.
Right, yeah. And I've been to some deliverance meetings where it was nothing but distraction.
Distraction, I know.
If you don't, people didn't take authority over the demons, and they were just they'll act up. They acted out.
Absolutely.
And Jesus would not allow that to happen. He wanted the focus to remain on, out.
Yeah.
And they went out.
He had the authority to cast them out. Mm-hmm. We have that authority today. But it's not should not be our prime focus. Our prime focus should be leading people to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Do you believe? And healing them and leading them to a saving knowledge of who God is. And yes, we have authority over all of this. Megan, isn't this interesting how Jesus was so amazing here? He was wanting to heal these people. He was not saying, "No, you know, you deserve that. You know, after all, you've had a pretty nasty attitude, so it's okay that you have this awful crippling disease, or you're paraplegic, or you're a leper. You know, you deserve it." You know, that's not Jesus at all, is it?
No, it's not. And that's, the Lord doesn't ever put anything on us like that, ever.
Ever.
And, no. And he doesn't make us go through having an illness, but he can heal us.
That's right.
Because he wants to.
Right.
And I can totally understand why he wanted to stay focused, because he knew his job, and it was to teach.
Right.
And he had to have quiet moments.
Yes.
We all need that.
Yeah.
That's what we need to realize. We can't keep scammering through the junk and expect something to happen if we don't take the time away by ourselves to refocus and get guidance and get strength back.
Oh, that is right on. And don't we all need that? You are exactly right. And if Jesus needed that when he walked this earth, how much more do we need that private, quiet time of worship and praise and time to really get to know our Heavenly Father and to develop that relationship with him and to be lifted up out of our circumstances, whatever those are? The devil is the one who puts sickness, disease, torment, all kinds of things on us. And the Bible says in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness or turning. In other words, God is not the one that puts diseases on people, nor is he the one that causes bad things to happen to good people. God allows things, and a lot of times we allow things by our own behavior, our own doors that we open. But in the midst of whatever we've allowed or whatever has happened to us, God is there. And I love this next song, and I let it minister to you. It's by the group The Katinas. Really good. And the title of it is Eagle's Wings.
Here I am waiting, abide in me, I pray. Here I am longing for you.
Beautiful song. Come live in me. All my life, take over. I will rise on eagle's wings. Love that song by the Katinas. They have a great sound. And the, what that those words were saying. Nan, you have a poem for us?
Yes, ma'am.
Go ahead.
Will you reach out to me with your heart so that of a new life you can start? You will be so wonderfully blessed because of me you have confessed. I will always be with you where you are, and you I will always love and for you care. You can have such a wonderful time, and of your past life you leave behind. You will feel free like riding on eagle's wings, and so many things to you I will bring. You will have such wonderful peace and joy, and then you will begin your spiritual story.
Wow. I like that. that's an invitation to our listeners to really begin this relationship with the Lord if they don't already know him. And some of you out there may be saying, yeah, I hear about this Jesus, but I really can't say I know him personally. And there might be some of you right now who have actually in your life never really said, Jesus, please come into my heart and live in me. And, you know, we would be amiss if we did not give you that invitation right now, because we're approaching Resurrection Day right away in the next few weeks. We're approaching the time where we are so concentrated on Jesus' death and resurrection, and he is the risen Lord, and he does want to come live on the inside of you. And that's why I love that song we just played, Come Live in Me All My Life, Take Over. Take it over. Megan, I'm going to pray the sinner's prayer right here, and I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. And people out there, if you're not sure right now that if you died tonight, you would be in the arms of Jesus for all eternity, we want to give you that opportunity right now to pray this prayer. Repeat with Megan after she repeats what I say. And this is based on Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, that we shall be saved, and that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's 1 John 1:9. So, dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus.
Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus.
I believe that you are the Son of God.
I believe that you are the Son of God.
I believe, Jesus, that you died on the cross so long ago for me.
I believe, Jesus, so long ago that you died on the cross for me.
I believe that you came out of the tomb 3 days later, a risen Lord.
I believe that you came out of the tomb 3 days later, a risen Lord.
I confess that you are the risen Messiah.
I confess that you are the risen Messiah.
I ask you to forgive me for anything and everything that I've ever said or done.
I ask you to forgive me for anything and everything I've ever said or done.
That was not pleasing to you.
That was not pleasing to you.
Please forgive me now for all my sins.
Please forgive me now for all my sins.
And come into my heart and live in me.
And come into my heart and live in me.
Become my Lord and my Savior.
Become my Lord and my Savior.
This I pray in Jesus' name.
This I pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
We want to hear from you if you prayed that prayer. So many people have prayed that prayer with us through the years. We have rarely heard from people that do, but occasionally. And, you know, it's so important. We'd love to hear from you so we can help you understand where to begin reading, right, Pastor Jim, in the Word, and how to get started. And you or me will respond to them if they will write us, pastor@bohmglobal.com or pastorjim@bohmglobal.com, and we will definitely respond to them. And the importance of starting your relationship with Jesus, it starts with that, with your confession, with your belief, and with your confession. Pastor Jim, you want to comment on that?
Well, in Romans chapter 10, it says believing and confession is what it takes. You know, you believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord.
Yes.
And you will be saved. It's that simple, but you have to believe. And
believe. Do you believe? That's the question of that movie coming out. Do you believe?
And, you know, we've been going over the stuff that Jesus has done or did while he was on earth. And, you know, you read through the rest of the Gospel of Mark. It is the shortest of the Gospels. You know, we find Jesus went to the cross and he took our sins there.
Yes.
And our sicknesses, our hurts. Isaiah prophesied.
Yes.
He took our sins, our sicknesses, our emotional hurts, all of that.
Amen.
Went to the cross.
Amen.
With him. And he bore it for us.
Yes, he did.
And they buried him, and 3 days later, he rose again in victory.
Amen.
He took the keys of hell and death away from the devil.
He did.
And he has them now.
Amen.
And we can, you know, the thing is, do you believe? I mean, it was as simple like on the day of Pentecost, which I'm pretty, you know, you talked about last week. Peter preached a sermon, and it wasn't any huge theological thing. It just said, God prophesied this was going to happen. It happened. He died. He rose again. And
Do you believe?
Do you believe? Repent and be baptized.
That's
you're
right.
Get the Holy Spirit.
Acts 2:38. Repent and receive it.
Paul
yeah.
said it's as simple as in 1 Corinthians 15. For I gave you the first things that Jesus was crucified according
right.
to the scriptures, and he rose again on the third day.
Amen.
And he was seen by many witnesses.
Amen.
And there's nothing that we're saying that's fabricated.
No.
I want to, you know, people say, well, who could believe man rising from the dead? How could God become
Even
a man?
Even history records it.
Right. You know, how could God become a man?
Right.
I don't know, but he did.
Right.
The Bible is trustworthy, you know? A lot of people, that's why the Bible has been attacked, is being attacked, because it is trustworthy and it is living. It's the living word
Amen.
Of God. Get into it. Study it. God's big enough for your questions.
That's right.
He was big enough for mine. He's big enough for yours.
That's right.
And God loves to answer people's questions.
He does.
He really does. Because sometimes we make things so complicated, or we try and intellectually worm our way out of it.
Right.
Well, ask God your questions. He'll give you an answer, either
Amen.
Through someone or something. He will give you an answer.
Absolutely.
I think I mentioned this, and I'll stop preaching here in a minute. But I did this, I think, one of the last times I was on. The guy who wrote Ben-Hur,
right.
General Lew Wallace, another Hoosier, I believe,
right.
set out initially to disprove the claims of Jesus. And what does he do? He gets saved and writes the novel Ben-Hur, A
right.
Tale of the Christ.
Right.
You know?
Amazing. And a book that you and I both recommend is Josh McDowell's book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically says Jesus was either Lord or he was a lunatic.
Lord, liar, or lunatic.
Lord, liar, or lunatic. And it's an amazing, I heard Josh personally, and you did too, and we went to Ball State in Muncie, Indiana. But and Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis is one of the classics. If you have doubts
Excellent.
In your life, get a hold of that classic, Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. Megan, talk to us about this, and then we are going to go down to verse 20 of Mark 3 here.
Well, I just have to say, if you prayed the sinner's prayer, you should be proud of yourself.
Amen. Amen.
You made the right decision.
Yes. Praise God.
And if you're proud of yourself, email Pastor Marsha and Pastor Jim and let them guide you on your new walk, on your new
right.
path, because it's awesome.
It is. It's awesome. Okay, thank you, Megan. Let's go to Mark 3:20. Jesus came home, and as usual, a crowd gathered. So many were making demands on him, there wasn't even time for him to eat. Some of his friends heard what was going on, and they went to rescue him. By force if necessary. They suspected he was getting carried away with himself. Isn't that interesting, Pastor Jim? They thought, oh, he's just doing this for the limelight.
Yeah. Well, and the literally, which of course the New American Standard is about as literal as you can get, verse 21, and when his own people, his own kinsmen,
yes.
heard of this, they went out to take custody of him. For they were saying he has lost his senses.
Exactly.
They thought he was nuts.
Right. And some people think some of us are a little crazy, too, and off the deep end, I suppose. But when you experience the reality of Jesus in your life and walk with him on a daily basis and hear his voice and know that he is leading you and guiding you, then it doesn't matter what anybody else says. You know the reality of that. Right, Megan?
Amen. And you know what's one of those moments where you're proud to look at whoever that is I do believe.
Amen.
And, you know, if they want to cast judgment and they want to talk about you to other people like the Pharisees did Jesus, they went to the head king himself that wanted to kill the Lord, you know, it's not going to do you any good, because those people that do that are just condemning the Holy Spirit, and they're just condemning Jesus' true self.
Yes.
And it's a sin. And don't judge those who believe in the Lord, because I'm here to tell you, and I'll tell it till the day I die, he is real.
He is real. So with that said, let's go over to verse 31 of Mark 3, because the same thing happens now. First, you see Jesus' friends all concerned about him, and now Jesus and his mother and his brothers show up in verse 31 of Mark 3. And Jesus was inside a house, and what was he doing? The theme of this show, what was he doing? He was teaching the word, okay? And the mother and brothers show up, and they stood outside, and they relayed a message that they wanted a word with him. And he was surrounded by the crowd when he was given this message. Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside looking for you. Jesus responded, "Who do you think are my mother and brothers?" Looking around, taking in everyone seated around him, he said, "Right here, right in front of you, my mother and my brothers. Obedience is thicker than blood. The person who obeys God's will is my brother and sister and mother." Pastor Jim, you got to talk about that, and then we'll go to Megan before we do this song.
Well, yeah, I like what Jesus says, that what's higher than our our biological relations is our spiritual family.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, and most of us have experienced this at one point or another, where our family members just don't get it.
Right. They don't.
You know,
we're weird to a lot of people, aren't we?
We are very weird. You know, I got saved. My father thought I was nuts. I got filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues, and he told me never to do that.
Yeah.
So people look at us odd, and sometimes we have to remember it's really our family is our spiritual family. And we all pray that our biological families join us in that.
Right.
But Jesus was saying, it's the people that do God's will. That's my real family.
That's my real family.
Yeah, that's my real family. Mm. That's the family that is important to me. And
right.
Please join me in that. And I'm
because
sure,
that's the ones that you're on the same plane with. The
right.
same. You're on the same page, so
right.
to speak.
And, you know, praise God, eventually Mary and
yes,
his brothers.
They all did.
Got on that same
they got
plane.
On that page.
You know, praise God for that.
But back here, they weren't.
No, they weren't. And
they thought he was crazy too.
Right. I mean, and Mary should have known better. And maybe she just had doubts, like John the Baptist.
Right.
We mentioned John the Baptist
right.
having doubts. Maybe Mary was having some doubts
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, we are strange to a lot of people. Megan, you want to comment on that before we go to this song?
Sure. You know, I've always been looked as different.
You are different.
I am, and I embrace it because I'm living my life for one person, and that's the Lord.
Amen.
And that's the way that everyone should look at it, is it's okay to be weird.
Yes.
It's okay to be different. It's okay to be a Jesus freak because, you know, the only person that means the world to me is him.
Right.
Because he is my true father.
Mm.
He is my creator. And so his opinion, to me, is the only one that matters. His guidance is the only one that matters.
Amen.
He is the only one that knows the best for us.
Woo! The whole series we've been in for the last 2 or 3 weeks is all about what, Megan, you just said and what Pastor Jim just said. The title of the series is From the Inside Out, and that's the title of this next song by Hillsong.
A thousand times I've failed, still your mercy remains. Should I stumble? Caught in your grace, everlasting, your light will shine well on earth's face, never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. My heart and my soul, I give you control, consume me from inside. Let justice and praise become my embrace, to love you from inside out. Will above all else,
Praise God. Oh, he just wants to do a work from the inside out. On the inside of us is where so much has to start. And we just prayed the sinner's prayer for any of you that did that. That is confessing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But that started with a change in you, that you wanted to be God's child from the inside out. Nan, do you have a poem?
Yes.
All right.
Will you give me total control? I will change you from the inside out. You will then want to share with others. And inside you would like to shout. To shout what I've done for you, given you such peace within. You will let others know that they too can of this wonderful life be in. Love me with all of your heart. I love you with all that is within me. I love you, wonderful child, and of your loving heart I do see.
Whoa, good stuff. All right. Oh my. It does start with a decision, mm-hmm. you know? And I think, Pastor Jim, so many people get hung up on, I got to get better. I got to get more worthy, if you will. I'm not quite there yet that I can say, God, I want everything you have for me.
Except, well, and I mentioned actually yesterday, and I mentioned it before, I had some friends in Indiana who were smokers and wanted to quit smoking before they received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And the pastor of the church we were going to and his wife and all of us said, that's how you get empowered to quit.
Right.
You know, because they were convicted about it, but they thought they kind of turned it around to where, oh, I got to stop before I get the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Just like with salvation, you can't clean yourself up enough to get saved.
Oh, no.
That totally is from Jesus.
Right.
You know, that comes totally from Jesus. And it's the same thing with walking in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That comes from Jesus. You have to let him, if he shows you something, then he's going to give you the power to change. And that power is through the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
You can't, and the Holy Spirit is our sanctifier, the
right.
one that sets us apart. We can't do that because then it becomes just, we're trying on our own. It becomes works of the law, basically. If I try and be sanctified on my own, if I try to make myself good and holy,
right,
that's just going to be a futile work of the law.
Right.
And all it's going to do is make me more frustrated.
So what you have to do is be so sensitive to God and just say, and daily we can say, Lord, just change me from the inside out.
And it's being submitted to God.
It is. Megan, talk to us about this.
Yes, I agree with Pastor Jim. You know, if you're going to try to do that yourself, you're going to be waiting for an eternity.
Right.
It's not anything that you can claim on your own. And, I mean, my gosh, it doesn't matter what you've done. We've said this a million times. It doesn't matter what you've done. You are still worthy to receive his grace.
Amen.
And his forgiveness.
Yes.
So, you know, stop making excuses. Stop beating around the bush and stop ignoring it. Just do it. Because I'm going to tell you what, people, you want the kingdom life. You don't want the other choice because it's not pretty. The devil, I'm telling you what, the devil seeks to kill and destroy.
Amen.
And exactly where he wants you. He doesn't want you living the kingdom life. He doesn't want you saved. He hates Jesus. He doesn't want anybody to be on his side. He doesn't want another member in his family. He wants you to himself so he can destroy you.
Absolutely.
And guess what? You deserve better than that. You deserve the Lord.
Amen. You preach it, girl. I love the last two sentences of Mark chapter 3 where Jesus says, obedience is thicker than blood. The person who obeys God's will is my brother and sister and mother. And it's all about learning to hear God's voice, obeying him, letting him change you from the inside out. And don't get hung up on the issues that you still have, but instead submit them to God and say, Lord, I allow you to work in me and change me.
And that's part of that, like we've talked about today, going away to that desolate place.
Right.
Or what, getting away.
Get
to
away
be with
so
God,
you can hear.
So you can hear what God says, so you can be with God. And then it's then you're hearing and you're empowered to make some of those changes.
Right.
And don't listen to the scribes and the Pharisees.
Right.
Because
right.
they're going to point out, well, you can't be Christian because you blah, blah, blah.
Explain who the scribes and Pharisees are to our listening audience.
Those are all those religious leaders that we've talked about, the ones that were just so religious and so self-righteous.
Self-righteous, yes.
They were very self-righteous because they just assumed that they were keeping the law, and nobody could keep the entire, all 613 commands. Nobody could do that
right.
except Jesus.
Right.
But they were convinced that they were better than anybody else because they knew the law.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, they even accuse, I think it's in John's gospel when he heals the blind man. They accuse the blind man, well, you're just part of the rabble.
Right.
You know, who are you to come talk to us?
Right.
And that was their attitude. So don't let people do that to you.
Right.
Well, you can't be Christian because of, or you can't be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can't be walking with the Lord because of whatever.
Right.
You know?
God works with us on our, you know,
God works step with by us step. Where we are at. And if he wants right. us to change, he'll tell us to.
Right. And, you know, I like Galatians 5:16 that says that we take care of these things of the flesh, of our flesh, little by little, step by step, one foot in front of the other. That Greek word there is peripatello, just one step in front of the other. Just move forward. God will show you. Megan, talk to us.
It takes a step of faith. It really does, because you are stepping out into the unknown. But I'll tell you what, if you're riding on the eagle, who soars above everything, you're not going to fall. He's right. not going to let you fall.
There you go.
And that's why you need to establish a relationship with
Amen.
Him, is so that you don't fall when you take that step forward, because he doesn't want you to fail. And I'll tell you what, if you have things in your life that are holding you back, you may have to let them go. And it's going to hurt. It's going to be hard. But in order to come out and claim your victory or claim your miracle, you have to take the first step. He's not going to push you into that step. You have to be willing to show him that you're going to do it.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, yeah, it's personal responsibility, you know, in all of this, because the sinner's prayer that we prayed earlier in the show, for those who didn't know Jesus, that's a personal responsibility of any of our listeners that don't feel they know Jesus to pray that prayer. We can't do it for them. Nobody can do any of this for you. This is you reaching out in faith and saying, okay, I want what God has for me. Pastor Jim?
Well, yeah, we can't force you to do it. And it has to come from within you. You
it
have
does.
To want God. But my experience, and I've been Christian for well over 40 years now, is when you reach out to God, he'll meet you.
Amen.
Right.
He will meet you.
Yes.
No matter where, you know, no matter where you're at. I mean, sometimes he'll meet you gently like he did the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Sometimes he'll have to get your attention like he did to Paul on the road to Damascus.
Right.
But he'll meet you.
He'll meet you. And sometimes how that translates in our lives today is that circumstances happen. Things happen in our lives that sometimes really bring us to our knees. And it's not that God put that awful thing, that tragic event on you or whatever, but by our own actions and by just the world in which we live, things happen. But what's going to happen as a result of that tragic thing that happened to you? Are you going to realize that you need God in your life? Do you recognize that you need him?
It's all in our response.
It's our response. Yes.
We can choose. I mean, you know, God says, Jesus said, there's the broad path and there's that straight, narrow, tribulated little path. Which one are you going to choose?
Right.
And yeah, sometimes it's hard to be a Christian.
Right. It's worth every minute, though.
It's worth every minute. I mean, you know, God will show you things.
Yes,
Father will show
yes.
you things you want to change.
Right.
But he wants you to change, and you think, I can't do this. I can't
right.
do this. And yet he's right there.
Amen.
He walks you through it all, no matter what it is, through any pain or tragedy. He walks
he's
you through
right
that
there.
Because he's been there.
Yes.
It helps me sometimes, and this may be for somebody in particular, but it helps me sometimes to remember the pain that the Father went through. We always talk about Jesus on the cross, and yes, that was incredible pain. But how hard was it for the Father to see his Son die?
Exactly.
But yet he could see, and so could Jesus. We have it in the scripture that he saw beyond that.
Right.
To the resurrection, he saw the life that was to come not only to Jesus, but because Jesus rose from the dead, all those who would come afterwards.
Amen. Amen. Woo! Praise God. Nan, did you have something else? No? Okay, Megan. We're winding down here, but it's so important that our audience realize that no matter how difficult life is at times, God is right there with us no matter what we're going through. And Megan, with what you're going through, getting ready to deliver this little baby and the pain that you've experienced over the last year and a half, you can say, can't you, that God has never left you, has he?
No, he hasn't. And, you know, God did not take my son from me to punish me
right.
at all.
No.
He did not do that. It was just something that happened in
That's
the,
right.
the growing of the human.
Right.
And it's just like Pastor Jim said, is, you know, when I knew Grayson was going to pass away, I remembered and thought to myself, wow, you know, God, you had to watch your son die on the cross.
Right.
You know this pain.
Right.
You know this pain.
Right.
But he knew that there was life after what happened, and so do I.
Yes.
And so it's not anything to blame on the Lord. It was a learning experience for me, and I cherish that.
Amen.
I really do. It was a peaceful time, and it was an extremely strong growing area for me to
yes.
get to know the Lord.
Yes.
And I crave it even more now, and I know that people probably think, wow, that's just really strange, but when you've seen things through the eyes of the Lord, it puts a whole new perspective on your life.
It sure does. And we are all going to be celebrating with you and Daddy Ben on April 11th when you deliver Zoe Grace into this world. And
Amen.
What a joy and a celebration that will be. Megan, get ready for your final thought here. Pastor Jim, do you have one here before we wind down?
Well, just that Jesus came. I'm going to quote, actually, Peter, how God anointed Jesus
yes.
of Nazareth with power in the Holy Spirit, and how he came to heal the sick and deliver people from demons.
Amen.
And he is our Savior. He is our Deliverer. He's anointed of God.
Yes.
And he longs to be your Savior. He longs to be your Deliverer.
Amen. Woo, Nan got something?
Just while we're talking, God, I want to be changed from the inside out. I accept the gift of your precious Son. You say you will help me in my life, so I will believe that it will be done. I want to feel the presence you have to give. I desire to receive all that you have for me. Help me to understand about you so that of your gifts I can clearly see. Oh, Father, I believe what you say. I believe you will help me now. I want to be the best that I can be and have your awesome, mighty power.
Praise God. That's as if it was coming from our listeners. Praise God. Megan, final thoughts here.
Well, I just have to say that if anybody is going through a difficult time right now, reach out to the Lord and ask him to show you, what do you want me to learn through this experience? What
yes.
do you want me to see? And I'll tell you, if you open your mouth and your heart is willing, he's going to tell you.
Amen.
He will direct you and show you exactly what you're supposed to do and why you're going through this learning experience.
Amen.
And I just pray that you will open your eyes and open your heart and receive him.
Amen. Thank you, Megan. Thank you, Pastor Jim. And thank you, Nan, for being on the air today. And this has been Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope. We welcome you to check out our website, and that is bohmglobal.com. Go there. You can listen to hundreds of our old broadcasts that might really help you and other people. Please tell people about the show. Thursday nights at 6:06 Eastern time, and that's 5 o'clock Eastern on the Starcom Media Network, 6 o'clock on our Tantalk 1340.com network. Listen to our life coaching show, Go Yard, with Mama Mac and Dr. Angel Falzoni. And I think it'll be a real blessing to you. That's every Thursday night. And that's TanTalk1340.com. And then 6 o'clock and 5 o'clock on the Starcom Media Network. And so it's going to be a good week for you, we hope. And God bless you. And it's not far to Jesus. And always remember that he is right there no matter what it is you're going through. It's been a joy being with you again today, as it is every Sunday afternoon. This is Pastor Marcia, Pastor Jim, Nan, Megan, sharing the Word of God with you this day. See you next week. God bless you.
It's not far from here to Jesus. His loving arms are open wide. Close your eyes and he will lead you safely to his side. There's no need for you. It's not far.